I kept hearing the Lord say, when I was standing in the back, He kept saying, "This is the year of miracles. This is the year of the manifestation of miracles." In 2021, like never before, says God. And I said, "Why now, God?" And He said, "I've cast my seed. I've cast my word. But the sparrows came and plucked it from the ground. Some was sown on stony ground. Some were overtaken by the thistles, by the things of this world. But the Lord said that the soil, the ground of miracles is ready. The season you're living in, the day you're living in, is the ground in that which the Spirit of the living God is going to move like never before. The very ground in your own life is the ground of miracles. It's the ground of signs and wonders. For it is my season, says the Lord, that my people called by my name." Wow. Come on. "This is your season," says God. "You are called by His name to be a light, not hidden under a bowl. But this is your year to shine," says the Lord. I'm telling you, some of those relationships that have been hard, some of those relationships that just seem like you're talking to the wall, breakthrough is coming, says God. I see breakthrough in relationships. I see breakthrough as you're witnessing. It's almost like I see like this wall that has been keeping the word of God. But the season is coming for harvest, says the Lord. I'm telling you, there was something in this room this morning. And the Lord wanted me to tell you this. This is for now. And this is for you who are in this room and who are watching. Come on, this is a now word. This is a rhema word. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of your miracles, your signs, your wonders over your life. Come on, something is in this room this morning. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
In the name that is above every other name.
Right there. Wow.
Come on. Lord, I release miracles, signs, and wonders.
Right there. Wow.
Come on, something's shifting. Something's shifting.
Wow.
I see miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm telling you, in the next couple months, even in the next week, something you've been praying for, something you've been asking God for a long time, God says His miracle is now. His miracles are upon you. I'm telling you, as you seek His face, you claim His miracles. You claim His signs and wonders over your life, but you're about to see more miracles, signs, and wonders in your personal lives in the next 6 months than you've seen in the rest of your life. I'm telling you, the season is now. The ground, the Zoe, the very thing that God has been predestined and planned is upon us. The harvest is white. among the harvest is white. Will you go? Will you be the one? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we surrender to you. Lord, do with us as you will, God. But in this season, God, let us see you, God. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, something is shifting. Wow. Wow. Tell you, miracles are being released right now. I saw like things that were held up. God releasing them in the heavenly realms over your lives, over your situations. There's some very profound miracles that are going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. For quite a few of you in here. I don't understand what that is. I don't know it all, but I'm telling you. God is moving on your behalf. But God is moving to lift up His name. To glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And this season and this day. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your miracles, your signs, your wonders, God. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Hallelujah. Well, that's definitely the word of the Lord. If you have the prophetic over the New Year's with Prophet Dave Wagner, that really pigtailed right in there. And interesting how God will confirm, and then He'll confirm, and He'll confirm again. You may be seated. So when we get confirmation, it's only just speaking, saying, I'm going to do that. And I was thinking about the two men that were walking after... They were walking on the road, and they were talking about the events that had taken place and what Jesus was all about, and they didn't realize that they were hoping something had happened, but Jesus came and appeared to them and began walking with them. And in walking with him, they could feel something that was very, very powerful. You know, I was thinking about, well, let's go. We should have a crowd so we could walk with Jesus, and then we'd know that he was here. It was two guys on the road just discussing things. And I think sometimes that's where we miss it. We're always looking for the big events that you won't feel so important there anyway, because it's a big event and there's so many people, and those people will probably be more important than myself. But the fact is, Jesus will come and he'll walk with you. And he'll talk with you. And when he does, when you leave, or when he leaves, he doesn't really leave. It's really, that's where he said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so we have to realize that the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus. And at that time, that's what they were feeling. They were feeling that presence. What is that presence all about? Didn't you feel like your hearts were burning on the inside of you because you were walking with Jesus? I think that's the most important thing as Christians and as believers of Christ, is that we know and we feel the Holy Spirit saying, hey, I was with you this morning. You know, when you were worshiping me, didn't you feel me? I certainly did. And interesting enough, I probably get more depth of relationship at my age than I did when I first, you know, I mean, we wanted things wild, and I still like stuff that's wild and free and interesting. But you know what? When it all comes right down to it, that Holy Spirit, when he comes and he just starts loving on us and caring for us and say, hey, you know what? Everything's going to be all right. And our hearts burning on the inside of us, that has to be something. Or are we having an event with Christ if our hearts don't burn? Burn in me, Lord, burn in me. And so I just really encourage each one of us in this praise and worship time and in this time. You know, we could say we could miss God by missing the prophetic that was spoken to us. Or the word that's going to be spoken today. I don't think Diane Lyon is going to be sharing with us. But if God gave her something, then I'm going to grab that. And that something's going to do something for me, like, you know, something was burning on the inside of me. And so we're expecting to hear the word of the Lord very powerfully. We get a chance to sow into the kingdom and into the workings of God. And so if you're making out a check today, you can make it payable to the community church. And Pastor Jeff is going to come and Jeff, the prophet, is going to come, and he's waiting, and then we can receive, we can give. So you come, and if you're making out a check, you can make it payable to the community church. God bless you in your giving. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Linda. You got back from, you drove to, all right, well, it's good to see you. Glad that it was a good, no problems. Good. All right. Well, it's your time. Hallelujah. That was great praise and worship. Just kind of, I can't call it down home. It was just very comforting. Yeah. All right. Well, we have an opportunity. This morning, Diane is going to come and she's going to share. I appreciate Dave and Diane in the ministry that they were called to and even the expertise, what they've been called to. So we really appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to hear the word of the Lord, and we're going to grab a hold of it and run with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited for today. I'm really glad you're here, and I'm really glad that we have an awesome opportunity to grow and to be all God wants us to be. Do you ever remember as a kid reading an assigned book to you by your teacher, and you're in the book and it's like, this is really boring and I really don't even like this, and I'm just going to go to the end of the book and see what it says. I'm just going to see how this all turns out, because there's a lot of drama right now. It's kind of even not something I'm interested in, or it's a lot of trouble, and it's just not where I want to be. I would much rather, let's just skip on over to the end. Oh my gosh, that's what's happening at the end of this book. I can't believe it. It didn't even look anything like where I am over here. And I know my teacher's not going to be like assigning this for about 7 more weeks, but I've got to trudge through all this muck and mire and learning about this thing, that this thing. It's not even going to matter once we're over here. Once we're over here. I compare that illustration to where we're at today. We have been in a great, we've been in part of the book where our lives have maybe not been desired to be in this situation. With COVID-19, the mask, the government whirlwind, family working at home, Zoom for the kids, etc., etc., etc. But let's take a glimpse ahead a few chapters and see the end of the book. There have been a lot of uncertainties in all of our lives. Life really just that is that way anyway, whether we realize it at all. It's just been something thrown upon us that we really haven't desired to the extent and degree of that. But really, life is like that anyway, if we just admit it. Yeah. But there are anchor truths that will steady the storms of life. So I'm going to somehow, I'm going to have to put this down. So we have some anchors in the midst of our storms coming down on us. The first anchor is the Word of God. We would all agree that the Word of God is our anchor. We know that. That is called in the Greek the Logos word, the written word. The written word of God. That keeps us strong. So when the enemy tells us we're going to go down, we take that sword and we say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. That's right. And we even know we have a sword because the Word of God says that's part of our armor. And then we also know from the Word of God that it says that's our strength, right? So the next thing we have, Jeff already did this today. We have the prophetic word. The prophetic word is where the Holy Spirit speaks into somebody's heart and they get so bubbled over they just have to share it. And we know that's also from the Word of God, that the prophetic word is for today. A lot of Christian circles don't believe that and will not recognize that. That's not even part of their life. And that's really sad. And I used to be in that realm of churches, and I understand that. And I'm so grateful that I have come to the knowledge that it is for today. And it draws us great encouragement. Wasn't that encouraging what Jeff said today? That was so encouraging. That will get you through the storms of life. The Word of God, the prophetic word. The other thing is the Rhema word. The Rhema word is that quickening of, like we talked about, the Holy Spirit, where it just comes alive, and it is also, by the Holy Spirit, that will go to be one of the foundations or the anchors that will strengthen you. Okay? It's that thing that Pastor just said today. He said, the Holy Spirit will get you through. Get you through. He'll talk to you. He'll encourage you. He's our helper. So these are some of the foundations or the anchors that we have going for us. Now, we're to rest our soul. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down by still waters. He restores my soul. So we are to put our soul on these things. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. A lot of times we just might not feel getting up and reading our Bible or praying or going to church or doing anything good. Well, the Lord says to be rich in good works, to not forsake the assembling together, etc., etc., etc. So the emotions, if they're bad, we cross them out and we do what the Word of God says. Also, our will, if it's bad, we just say, too bad, so sad, will, you're doing what God says, not what we want. And our mind, instead of going all over the place, condemning us, making us feel less than, we say, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a child of God. You know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we need to be, realizing as an anchor. Another thing we can do is we can confess promises. These are just strategies to get you through the anchors. We can confess promises out loud. We can use our mouth. We have gates that the enemy will try to use to depress us and tear us down. That's our mouth, our ears. We have to be careful to guard what we hear, what we say, what we see. put on praise music at home, have fellowship with one another. Listening again to that rhema word when Holy Spirit said, well, I just feel like doing this. Can I tell you an interesting thing? This week, I just felt like having macaroni and cheese one night. And I'm like, why do I just have such a strong urge to have macaroni and cheese? Now, this might sound weird to you, but this is where this is going. It's a rhema word. Like you'd say, right, this is really the Holy Spirit is wanting to talk to me about macaroni and cheese. I was driving, and I was really realizing, what day was this, honey? This was Tuesday night. I was realizing I had something going Wednesday, something going Thursday, and we were doing something that I was not going to get a Valentine's dinner or anything if I didn't be proactive tonight. This is Tuesday night. So I called my husband up, and I said, and as I was going, I just was turning the corner. Oh, there was that new place in town, Fozzie's. I'm going to see if they're open. Oh, they're open. I'm going to go up there. The nicest maitre d' guy just said, I'll look at the menu. They have macaroni and cheese. I'll set the table for you. You go get your husband. It'll be all there for you when you get back. Well, I was blessed because I listened to the rhema word, and I was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm not sad today because I got forgotten. And you know, it's so practical is my thing. God is so practical. If we just tune in, but we won't if we let our mind, will, emotions, our soul be whacked out by the storms of life that have come upon us. So as we move along, what about this prophetic word? Now, there's been a lot of prophetic words of the prophets regarding our day with the political scene. The prophets have said what? They've said one. I'm going to put it down here so we can keep seeing this good stuff. A couple of the things the prophetic word has said. They have said one, that Donald Trump would what? Have two terms. They have said that. Another thing the prophetic words, and this is just not some one or two. It's been a unanimous word. The other thing is that there is going to be justice come to our nation for all the injustices that we've seen take place in the government. Now it's in big tech. Now it's in big business. Now it's in all the things that we already knew. It was in Hollywood and everything else. And so now it's just kind of regurgitating all of the muck. What was the other thing? The other thing was that there is a coming great awakening. Now, if you're like me, I gave up on watching mainstream media long time ago. I've deleted Facebook, because they've not just abandoned the conservative voice, which is against the First Amendment, but they are now going after those that would have a conservative voice. Other social media platforms as well. So other ones are raising up. The regurgitation process has begun. So we wanted it as a church. We wanted it this way. We wanted Trump to win. We wanted justice to come, and then we'll have that. That makes us nice and comfortable and happy, doesn't it? But maybe God just happened to go backwards, and we don't have the plan in the mind of Christ in the sense of the fullness of what he's got going on. We have the mind of Christ, but his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So maybe he's just going to go backwards in the deal. But I'm still going to believe the prophetic word, and I'm still going to hold fast to what has been spoken. And that will move into... Oh, okay, so maybe on the next agenda of God, there's a great awakening. Well, what does that mean? And what is an awakening? First of all, if it's the third great awakening, that means there was one and two. So what we're going to look at today, what is an awakening? When were the first one and twos? And is it scary? And what should I expect? So we're going to look at that. So... the synergy of the ages will fall into place. So let's go to that first great awakening. The first Great Awakening happened in the 1700s, prior to the American Revolution. It happened after the Pilgrims came 100 years prior. Pilgrims came in the 1600s. The fire for the Lord was great in their lives, as we've already discussed. They were people who laid down their lives for the cause of the gospel. Christopher Columbus came in the 1400s and laid the foundation that this is for Christ and his kingdom. So the good seeds had been sown. Unfortunately, from the times of the Pilgrims to the Great Awakening, people's hearts have grown cold. They began to be concerned of things of the world, more things about gaining wealth and being comfortable, things that still tempt and plague the church today was happening then. So by the time the 1700s came, again, 100 years after the Pilgrim, the colonies were started, we found a very carnal church. God in his mercy sent a revival, and that revival was prior to the signing of the Declaration of Independence. But because of that revival is because we have our great nation, because our great nation was spawned or was birthed out of that great awakening. At a great awakening, the Holy Spirit falls and produces things that we know as a Pentecostal church because we've been blessed to be a part of that movement. We know when maybe someone shakes or someone cries out or someone runs or people are crying uncontrollably, that's a move of the Holy Spirit. Well, that was happening for the first time in people who are normally very religious or / unchurched or just unaware. And this was amazing to them. And because the churches had become so dead, when they would have itinerant preachers, and they would just go out, that some of the pastors who weren't even saved themselves, and there was a popular book that went out that said ministers who aren't saved, how can they get their churches saved? That brought a lot of good pharisaical demons out to attack those itinerant preachers, but they just went on the horses, and you've heard stories of how they just would travel in the weather for miles and miles and miles, and they would just go and preach to the people. And again, some of the churches were so small or they locked the doors, the people would have to meet outside. So that was the first Great Awakening. Again, spawned the fire of God back to this nation to become a Christian nation that we know from our Declaration of Independence. Godly men created that document that we still live by today. Again, just a side note, this is the oldest republic that has ever existed. There have been other attempts, but why we are a unique nation is nothing, none has lasted. No constitution of any other country has lasted for as many years as we have. And that is because ours is so rooted in the Word of God. And we are also a nation who chose God. And God has a great love because we did that for him. So he reciprocates that on us. It's that covenant relationship. Okay, the second Great Awakening happened in the 1800s. And that happened, of course, I'm not going to expound too much on that. Is basically, if you open up a hymnal, have you ever opened up a hymnal and look at when are the dates of most of those hymns? They're from the 1800s, the 1860s, prior to the Civil War. Again, that move of God literally saved our nation, got us past the Civil War to go forward today. So my point is the moves of God have saved our nation. Are we not at that point right now? So, I want to move on. We have now what's called is the synergy of the ages. It comes from the great cloud of witnesses. Talked about in Hebrews 11:34-12:1. I'm going to read that real quick, and if you have your Bible or your phone, if you want to look that up with me. It says, and all of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised, because God had us in mind and had something better and greater in view for us, so that they, these heroes and heroines of the faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, and the sin which so readily, deftly, and clearly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. So we have a great cloud of witnesses. They are up there. Imagine George Washington, if we just want to look at it since we're talking the historical context here. Thomas Jefferson, the Pilgrims, all of our ancestors, saints of old, our grandparents, those who have loved Jesus are up there. The Word of God is saying that they can't come to perfection. Do you know why they're cheering us on? Because they probably have rewards they're waiting for, but can't be fulfilled until we take the baton and run. You know, I never thought about that way before. They are actually cheering us because they go, come on now. You know, we're in this together. If you don't run your race, I don't get perfected. Now, it also says that the creation cries out for the sons of God, right, to be known. So there are invisible calls that are cheering us on, that are calling us to finish the course. Be that godly woman. Be that godly man. Represent Christ at the workplace. Go that. Do your course. Don't die in the wilderness. Pastor, if you want to come up here, and I need a young... What's your name again, sweetie? I forgot. Yes, come up. Since I'm dressed like a patriot today, I'm going to pretend I'm George Washington, and I'm up there. I'm George Washington, and I'm like, yes! God had that great revival. It stirred in my heart as I was listening. And I spent my time and effort. I sold my wealth. I had persecution at every angle. I was on my horse and it was shot down. I should have died numerous times. But God had his hand. The providential care was for this nation is here. And it was born through God. We were there signing the Declaration of Independence. I saw my peers fall and weeping. Even the Quakers had emotion at our signing. There's a move of God in this nation. And it just can't be completed. The destiny call of being the light to the world. Unless this baton is passed. I'm up cheering you on. Pastor, you got to stand in the middle here. So it's been passed down through the ages. Now you got to run with it. Run around and give it to the next generation. Go, 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 go. Run your race. Run your race. Run, run, run. I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to do weary of well-doing. I'm going to do my call. I'm going to be that man of God. I'm going to represent Christ this earth. I'm going to say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and I'm going to pass it on to the next generation. Go, 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 go. You're going to run your race. You're not going to be lazy. You're going to stand up for Christ and your peers in your school. You're going to listen to and grow in the Lord. You're going to choose God in all your ways. And you're going to pass that baton and you're going to finish it. Thank you, dear. And we're going to have a personal life and nation that runs its course and fills its call of God, which is America's call of God, which he has set. The assignment of America is to be the light, the city set on a hill, to be that light, to go out into all the world and shed the gospel. That is our call as a nation. So we will do that. Yes. The witnesses are there cheering us on. They cannot receive the fullness, apparently, from the Word of God. They cannot be perfected, come to maturity, come complete until we finish our assignment. You know, this happens in the natural too, doesn't it? Can't you see how Thomas Edison created the light bulb? His labors, How many failures did he have until he finished his course? And aren't we the benefits of that today? Well, we just don't stand under the light bulb and go, isn't that awesome? We get to use the light bulb, we bring it into operating rooms, and we heal people. We have run our race. Or what about the car? Henry Ford, he went and he spent all that time developing the automobile. People drive every day and use that blessing. And they go to places, ambulances roar down the streets, police used for justice, firemen fight those fires, first responders go out and save lives. So it's even seen in the natural. Dutch Sheets, if you aren't a part of the Cloud of Witnesses, give him 15. If you want to download that app, that would be highly encouraging to you, and you can watch daily. He talks about the synergy of the ages. The generations are far more connected than most of us realize. In God's mind, doing something through our descendants is the same as doing it through us. That's the synergy of the ages. In God's mind, doing something through our descendants is the same as doing it through us. So that what that means is through the prayers of the revivalists, they prayed for our nation. They prayed our nation would be, the pilgrims certainly did, that we would rise up. So we're actually joining together arm in arm, getting the prayers. You can even put it down to your father who prayed for your mother who cared for you when you were sick. The prayers of our descendants join with us and carry on in God's mind for his great outcome. It's a big deal. When we operate in the synergy of the ages, a multiplication of power through a combined effort takes place. For example, we know about when two or more gather, you know, there he is. Generation agreement and honor is blessed by God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. That is right, that it can go well with you and you will enjoy a long life on earth. Honoring, connecting to previous generations and assignments and promises. And when we do that, it multiplies power. Benefits are when we ask for and receive the strength and power of past revivals today. God doesn't want us to start over in our kingdom advancement and efforts. He wants us to drink from the past revival wells, allowing the spiritual nutrients from them to mix with today's revelations and anointings. Now, I must add, which I didn't touch on, there were several revivals that came out of that Great Awakening. I can't even go in. That would just take probably a week to talk about that in depth. My husband knows a lot about that, Pastor, just to let you know. So it's absolutely fascinating. Did you know that President Trump actually came out of a revival? Heber Dean's revival, that Bible that he used to be sworn into for the President of the United States came from the revival in Wales, correct, sweetie? Which came from one of the other Great Awakenings, correct? Yep. So there's just, it's just a vast knowledge that if you want to dive into, you will be blessed. And you will see there is a synergy of the ages that we are a part of. The thing is, in American mindsets, we have such an individualism power in there that we have to say, you know what, it's okay. It's actually, you know, that's good in some ways, but we have to also recognize it can be a weakness if we, it can blindside us if we don't take these things into consideration. The world is about to experience its greatest revival ever, the Third Great Awakening, and one of the reasons for its strength will be the efforts of yesteryear's saints, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the first and second awakening, the Azusa Street awakening. These all come into play. In God's mind, they're still active and we can activate that power for this next one, which will even be more powerful than that. So what does that look like? When that comes by, what does that look like? Many of you will remember the Father's Day revival down in Pensacola. A pastor just happened to be preaching, and the Spirit of God fell on him. We could be expecting that. I would encourage you to be expecting that. Have your radar on. You know, it's an expecting. Maybe that could happen to me right now. Maybe God's fire could fall on this congregation when you're least expecting. And you know, it's not your works. You could be feeling sick at the time. You could be having a headache at the time. But God in his love and his mercy could come on you so strongly in spite of yourself. And that's what it's all about anyway. So we can be expecting that, and we can pray into that. And prayer is ever active. So that's what this is all about. The prayers of the saints are active before the Lord. And as we pray into that, we're in agreement, and that'll just cause that power to be ignited. So we can be expecting, there's a revival in such and such place. There's a revival right here now. You know, I mean, we can be expecting to see those things. We can expect our society to actually change. We can expect when we go to work, people are actually talking about God. You know, I mentioned that to my son Daniel about to be expecting. He's 21. And he said, Mom, it's already happening. It's already happening. And he talked about this undercurrent of people he's working with. He's working in construction sites. So it's not like, you know, it's not like the place where usually God is mentioned, unless maybe he's a cuss word. But he is noticing that already happening there. And he's showing me his little... TikTok, other things going on in his little social media world where it's already happening. So I believe it is. The waft, the undercurrent is already coming, like the Titanic. You can the surge is already pulling in that direction. So we can be encouraging to our children. I encourage you to read the Hebrews 11 to your family. Read it again for yourself. And realize that we are in a synergy of the ages. You know, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and the other group that said there's no resurrection, that group, he says, you don't understand the scriptures. He said, Abraham is the God of the living, not the dead. He's alive. He's more alive than we are. He's got the abundant eternal life. So these prayers of the saints and their lives are ever active, truly urging us on. So what will be a game changer when millions of Americans have had a powerful encounter with the Holy Spirit and he takes up residency within them? Their passions, their beliefs will change. As with the first and second Great Awakening, this will weaken the hold of liberalism, secularism, socialism, atheism. Christians enjoying spiritual liberty in Christ will come to crave political liberty once again. The Third Great Awakening will reinvigorate America and the world, the world society as a whole, just as the First and Second Great Awakening did. It will draw on the power of those last two awakenings. Do we have another slide? Christopher Columbus, when he set out, he said, I have seen and put in study to look into all the scriptures. Our Lord opened my understanding. I could sense his hand upon me. All those who heard about my enterprise rejected it with laughter, scoffing at me. And then the next one. No one should fear to undertake any task in the name of our Savior if it is just and if the intention is purely for his holy service. Yes. So in light of it, I encourage you to stay on your foundation, the anchor of your soul, the Word of God, the prophetic Word, the Rhema Word. Saturate yourself in that. Make your life fit around this. You know, and it takes some discipline to do that. But it's going to be a stronghold for you. Also, another thing is to pray for that great revival. Say, Lord, let me be ready. Let me be one of those people that you really touch and can use as an answer to our saints up in the cloud of witnesses. and let me be one of those who carries the baton and runs with it. Let me talk about it with my kids, my grandkids. Let them know what's going to happen so when it happens, they can be excited and not scared about it. And anticipate it. Anticipate the power of God in the undercurrents that are already happening. Be that conduit of his presence to take that forward. I had one last thing. This is what I shared at Thanksgiving this year. Yep, do you want to come, sweetie, and do this? This is a picture of the pilgrims. Before they came to our nation, they would walk miles and miles. This is when they were in the Netherlands. This is a picture called Going to Church. And this is where they would walk several miles in the snow. And of course, their attire wasn't, you know, all conducive to the weather. But they would travel and make that sacrifice. And so when we think about our lives, listen to the Holy Spirit within you. Listen to him leading and guiding you. It's going to be a wild ride, like Pastor said. He might call you to get some macaroni and cheese. Just listen to him and be known he loves you and he wants to take care of you and your children. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so very much once again. I think it's so important that we make it today is the day. The word of the Lord is for today. And you know, mac and cheese is for today. Yes. Hallelujah. Jake, he caught a fish yesterday, and in catching that fish, it was 14 below, okay, and he caught a good sized fish, you know, a fat fish, but we were talking about being 14 below. So in our minds, it'll be the 14 below that we'll remember probably more than the fish. Jake, he enjoyed the fish pretty good because he caught all the fish yesterday. Yeah, I didn't even get a bite. Well, I did get a bite, but I couldn't. I mean, the fish was like, they liked Jake yesterday. And then right at the end of the time, he caught this big fish. And I said, look there, Jake, you got the big fish too. And so that was fun. I just think that sometimes we don't realize, because like when I'm fishing, I'll do different things like praying and different things, taking authority over the Red Lake River, you know. Well, the Bible talks about that, you know. We have the authority over seas and fish and all that stuff. I just said, well, that's not cheating. I'm always telling the boys that when they're playing basketball and stuff. I said, hey, praying's not cheating. I said, praying is going to get you a lot further than you think. And I really believe that in our historical understanding, in our political arenas, and all of the stuff that is around us, and we have to deal with it, we could get, you know, overcome by it, or we can overcome it and saying this is the way we're going to pray. You know, it tells us to pray for our president. Well, I'm going to pray for President Biden. He is the president of the United States. I'm not going to, well, he's not really the president. Yeah, well, whatever, you know. But I do believe that God works and can work through different things. I mean, Mary said, if that guy can get saved, anyone could get saved. That was to me. So if we could pray for guys and gals, encourage them to grab a hold of something, because revival, if it's a great third revival, you don't stop them things. They just start, and they start gaining momentum. I think about Pensacola. When did it start? When did it end? Well, when it started, it didn't seem like much, but when it ended, it was literally thousands and thousands of people all over the world got their lives changed. So I'm just going, well, Lord, and I think that when Diane was talking about, let's be ready. We hear the word of the Lord. The prophetic word, I lean heavy on the prophetic words, and I listen to the prophetic words that are in the house, and they're connected into a bigger picture. And so we just need to take a look at the big picture. You know, we got a lot of crazy stuff that's going on that personally I think it's not of God. I'd say it's flat of the devil. Well, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to pray? You know, we could get all bent out of shape and curse and swear and kick the side of the car or something, or we can pray. And, you know, with the stuff that's going on in the United States of America right now, hey, it's very challenging. And when we pray, we start seeing the movement of God in the United States of America. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, that you're stirring on the inside of us, Lord, something that we've had. This thing didn't start yesterday or isn't going to end tomorrow. It's an ongoing thing. And Father, the saints that have went on before us, those that have really formed and fashioned something so beautiful for us to step into. Sometimes we say, boy, it doesn't look so beautiful. It doesn't look, hey, I tell you what, the more I see God doing something that seemed to be not so good, but I hear the word of the Lord, nothing wasted. Nothing wasted. And he'll take a pandemic and he'll turn that thing into something that just mind-blowing great. And that's the God that we serve. And even in myself, I think after I went through the COVID-19 deal, and did I enjoy it? No. Did you hate it? Well, I don't like to be sick, so I didn't like it. But you know what? It gave me something about prayer. Pray. And it was almost like a revelation of prayer. And that, I don't think that's ever going to leave me. So I'm going, well, you know, nothing wasted. I'm glad it's gone. Jacob had it, myself and Jake, we were quarantined together. Yeah, and Jake's a good guy. If you ever have, I don't want him to get anything like that again, but he's a real great guy to have around. Don't make too much noise. You hear him kind of like the ghost in the house. I heard Jake. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you today. This next week, let's expect God to do some great things. 50-degree difference today. 1 week from today, it's going to be 50 degrees difference. That's pretty cool. So, yes. All right. Well, God bless you. Father, bless God bless each one of the people here today, Lord. We pray that Diane, as she shared that word, it's so powerful. Understanding that God, you're in control, and if it was 100 years ago or 100 years in the future, you're so in control. We pray, Lord, that each person would have that experience that God is with me, and if he's with me, there's nothing that can really prosper against me, because I have the word of God, I have the Rhema word of God. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've given us, the gifts and the callings and even the prophetic word, Lord, that has been given to us, that we can, I mean, we're not going into a dry, cold, dreary. You didn't say that in a prophetic word. You said, hey, there's miracles, there's signs, there's wonders. Yes. There's great, great things that are going on. We'll receive that. And that's what I receive, at least, from the prophetic. And we thank you for that now. And send us forth with the truth of your word, your prophetic word, and the word of God that you have given us for this next season time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And God bless you. May you have a great, great, beautiful, nice, warm afternoon in Jesus' name.